Council.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Thank you, Pat, and good morning, everyone. You know, the Statue of Liberty and this wonderful holiday called Thanksgiving go together naturally because although as Americans we have many things for which to be thankful, none is more important than our liberty. Liberty, that quality of government, that brightness of mind and spirit for which the Pilgrim Fathers braved the seas and Americans through two centuries have laid down their lives. Today, while religion is suppressed in perhaps one-third of the world, we Americans are free to worship the Almighty as we choose. While entire nations must endure the yoke of tyranny, we are free to speak our minds, to enjoy an unfettered and vigorous press, and to make government abide by the limits we deem just. While millions live behind walls, we remain free to travel throughout the land to share this precious day with those we love most deeply, the members of our families. My fellow Americans, let us keep this Thanksgiving Day sacred. Let us thank God for the bounty and goodness of our nation. And as a measure of our gratitude, let us rededicate ourselves to the preservation of this, the land of the free and the home of the brave. From the Reagan family to your family, happy Thanksgiving and God bless you all.
And of course, that was former president, the late Ronald Reagan. It was back in 1985. And so if you haven't figured it out, I wanted to talk today about Thanksgiving. Yesterday being Thanksgiving and all of us getting together with our friends or our families and recognizing all the things that we're thankful for, it got me to thinking that there's so many different meanings to Thanksgiving. And there's a show that's on this station in the mornings, I believe at 8 o'clock, called The Briefing, and Albert Mohler's the host of that. And on Wednesday he was talking about Thanksgiving and he was looking at some of the different secular or humanist or atheist views of Thanksgiving. And although he did shoot down some of their claims, that wasn't really the spirit of what he was talking about. There's a lot of instances in the humanist movement or the secular America where they want to separate themselves from religion and they want to have Thanksgiving, for instance, to be free of religion. And I'm going to talk about a couple of the things that have happened in the history of Thanksgiving in this country that really don't, those views don't hold up, but that doesn't take away the fact that I salute anyone that looks for the spirit of Thanksgiving, even if they're looking for it without God. It's a good thing to thank those around you that you care for or that have helped you. So of course, and we all do that. It's just those of us that look at it from a religious or a Christ-centered point of view, and I hope this doesn't sound disrespectful, we take it a little bit deeper. We're not just thankful for the people around us and the technologies and the beauty and all of those things that anyone can be thankful for, but we recognize that so many of those things wouldn't be possible without our Creator. In fact, there are certain things some of these humanists or secularists have come up with replacements for the prayer that most of us, you know, we may pray before the Thanksgiving meal. Many Christians obviously pray, you know, more, you know, several times a day or before every meal or, you know, whenever they feel so moved. But more specifically, the prayer of Thanksgiving, and generally we do that before we have our big Thanksgiving feast, and we give thanks for the meal, and we ask that it'll nourish our bodies, and we think about those that are less fortunate, and we do all of those things, recognizing that none of that is possible without the Creator. And it's because there's so many things that we see on this earth and that we benefit from, and some that we don't benefit from, but that are out of the control of man, that we can't as man create those things. When a farmer plants a field, he doesn't create the corn that grows. He knows what practices will bring about the corn growing, and he tries to use the best practices that will bring the best crop. But as any farmer that is also a Christian knows, oftentimes you spend a lot of time praying for the weather to be helpful to your crops. You know, you might have a sensitive crop that one thunderstorm, one hailstorm could wipe out your entire crop. And that's something man can't control, despite the claims of man-made global warming, even if any of those claims happen to be true. And I'm not disputing or agreeing either way, but we don't control the weather. I mean, we do things to help facilitate it on a very, very small scale, like, for instance, cloud seeding around an airport to try and break up the fog. But ultimately, even those kinds of efforts fail as many times as they succeed, you know, depending on the severity of the given weather condition. So again, I don't mean this to be inflammatory, to use the word deeper, but Christians and other religious people take the idea of Thanksgiving one more level. And of course, if you don't believe in God, or you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you can still be thankful. And again, this isn't about making my version of Thanksgiving better than yours at all. I just wanted to contrast the differences. And again, that show that Albert Mohler did on this station, well, of course, it's carried on this station on Wednesday, got me to thinking about those things. And so I looked up a couple of the proclamations that presidents have made regarding Thanksgiving, and kind of the history of it. And I'm having some internet issues, so I'm trying to stall a bit here while I bring up something on my tiny iPhone. Good thing I have my glasses on, so I can take a look at some of these things. But let's go back to the original proclamation of Thanksgiving, and of course that was George Washington. And I want to go back to that and just read some of that to you. And actually, the way that I was made aware of this, I was reading one of the secular blogs that actually Albert Mohler had mentioned in his show, and I went to her blog to read kind of what he was talking about. And she made it clear that she did some digging and some investigating, and found that despite her desire for Thanksgiving to not be a religious holiday, she said the facts are that it is, in fact, a religious holiday. In fact, it may be more religious to celebrate Thanksgiving than even Christmas. Now, maybe Christmas the way we celebrate with Santa Claus and Christmas trees and all of the pagan rituals that we have in this country to celebrate Christmas, in that respect, yes, maybe. But let's be honest, it the birth of Christ is a pretty central part of Christianity, so I'm not sure I agree with that, but I definitely get her point there. So anyhow, she mentioned the Proclamation of Washington, and this was made on October 3rd, 1789. And I'm going to try and read this to you, and you'll have to excuse me. It's a little smaller than I had planned to print. And if I mess up any words, you'll just have to forgive me. Whereas in the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging the grateful hearts and many and signal favor of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So you can see in the first part of this proclamation, he immediately ties this to God and to the benefits, and it starts out that way, which is initially how she came to the conclusion that, in fact, the American Thanksgiving is, in fact, a religious holiday. But that, again, that doesn't mean we exclude the non-religious or the secular or the humanist. But we have to honor the history. And so often in today's world, the history has been twisted or ignored. And so I actually salute the fact that you know, she recognized that point and still held her belief and her ability to celebrate Thanksgiving without the addition of God. So I salute, you know, I respect that, and I salute her, and I think all of us as Christians that might be listening today, you know, we pray for people like that. We appreciate them in our lives, and we pray that maybe one day they will find Jesus and join us in celebrating his grace, and also trying to live within his laws. So we're happy to have, you know, those people recognize Thanksgiving along with us. So I'll go on from Washington's proclamation. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November. The 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that he may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favor, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm tripping over some of this, able interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government, for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have acquired and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. So what he's talking about there, at least in part, is our form of government, the formation of this country, and the type of country we were going to be. And he gives all the credit to God. And I think it's an important thing to remember, especially for Christians. And again, that doesn't mean we need to exclude anybody from Thanksgiving, but it shows the intent of the Thanksgiving that Washington proclaimed at that time. And I'm not going to read the rest of that proclamation. I just wanted to give you kind of a flavor of it. And as you could see, the older language of the early America is a bit of a tongue twister at times for me, but I hope you got the spirit of what I was reading there. And that's really what moved me to kind of focus on Thanksgiving, even though yesterday officially was Thanksgiving. I don't get too excited about Black Friday. I'm probably a little more into Cyber Monday. The more the technology gets better and better, and the more I'm involved in radio and some other things with technology, I appreciate Cyber Monday probably more. But it's just important to me that we recognize that Thanksgiving is an important time to reflect on all the good that is provided to us by God, and all of the things that we could be more mindful of those that aren't as fortunate as we are. God asks us to take care of those people, and we could always do a better job than we do. I know in my life, I really at times have used my own shortcomings as an excuse to not be as giving and as helpful as I could. And I've, you know, in recent years looked more to how I can serve my fellow man, and not just because of that God's called me to do that, but also because it's the right thing to do. And that's kind of where that tie between the religious Thanksgiving and the more secular Thanksgivings, where they can kind of meet together, because it is about our common humanity, as well as thanking God for all those things that we would have no existence or obviously no salvation without him. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. We'll talk a little more about Thanksgiving after the break. I'd like to talk about some of the things I'm thankful for. And I've got the Rogue Talk mascot here, Cameron. We might get him on, and we're going to do his football picks again today. But we also, maybe we'll see what he's thankful for. And Pastor Gigline sitting in here in the studio. Maybe we'll sucker him onto a mic, see what he's thankful for. But don't know if I can twist those arms tight enough, but we'll give it a try during the break. So don't go away. You're listening to Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
With SRN Sports, I'm Jeremy House. In the NFL yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers took sole possession of first place in the AFC North with a 28-7 win over the Indianapolis Colts. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown says everyone on the team played well.
We just was a better team today. We did a good job with scoring points. Defense put up some great stops. We had two turnovers on defense, and those are things that produce winning outcomes.
Colts quarterback Scott Tolzien, who started in place of Andrew Luck, says the team missed some major opportunities to score.
Twice having the ball that close, and that changes. That's a game changer. Period. So we got to learn from it. Starting with myself.
With the loss, the Colts slipped to 5-6 in the AFC South. Elsewhere on Thanksgiving, Dallas downed Washington 31-26 for its ninth straight win, while Detroit got by Minnesota 16-13. This is SRN Sports. College football, it was number 25 LSU outslugging Texas A&M 54-39. The win improved the Tigers' overall record to 74-53 in the Southeastern Conference. No games in the NBA on Thanksgiving, although there were two games in the NHL. Montreal edged Carolina 2-1, while Ottawa defeated Boston 3-1. Off the ice, the Vancouver Canucks have signed Ben Hutton to a two-year, $5.6 million extension. The 23-year-old defenseman has 2 goals and 4 points in 20 games this season, his second in the NHL. Top 25 men's college basketball, 8th-ranked Arizona has moved into the Continental Las Vegas Invitational title game against Butler by downing Santa Clara 69-61. Other winners included number 10 Louisville, number 11 Gonzaga, 14th-ranked UCLA, number 19 West Virginia, number 20 Baylor. This is SRN Sports.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome. Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith. And this is the day after Thanksgiving. And we're talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. And I thought I'd bring my son Cameron on. He's usually on, of course, in the last segment picking football games. But I thought I'd bring him on early so we could talk a little more about Thanksgiving. And we had a kind of a quiet Thanksgiving dinner this year. It was just our immediate family. In fact, we were short one of his sisters was not there with us. So it was just the four of us. And the one thing I got to do that I haven't done in a long time, and part of it is because of the family dynamic of Cameron's grandfather usually being with us at Thanksgiving, and
you're on 94.3 The Bridge.
I don't know what's going on.
Radio that's worth listening to.
All of a sudden, the computer is taking over here. Although I do appreciate them saying that it's radio worth listening to. But sorry about that little snafu there. I think Pastor Gigline may have had something to do with that. I couldn't get him to stay in the studio with us. But he did mention one thing he was thankful for. He was thankful that my show's only an hour long. So so anyhow, back to what we were talking about. One of the things that I got to do yesterday that I haven't done in a long time was to give the prayer before breakfast. I mean, breakfast before dinner, you know. Oh, you can do it at breakfast too, but before dinner. And again, generally most of our Thanksgiving meals, my wife's father is there, and as kind of the unofficial patriarch of the Oregon family, at least, he always offers up the prayer, and I got the opportunity to do it, and my prayer was short and to the point, but it touched my heart a little bit that I in recent years have been sort of realigning my beliefs and my relationship with God, and that, I don't know if I would call that a culmination moment, because life goes on and there'll be many more prayers, but it kind of touched me, and I got a little emotional, and is probably part of the reason I cut that prayer a little shorter than I may have done, because I have so many things to be thankful for, and it was a Thanksgiving prayer. And I was brought up in a wonderful family. I have parents that not only gave me, you know, pretty much anything I needed and a lot of things I wanted, but they gave me the values that I needed, not only for my life, but so that I had those values instilled in me that I could give to my kids. And I was talking to a friend just the other day, and we were talking about Thanksgiving and related things. And I said, one of the things that I'm grateful for, and she was mentioning someone in her family, a young person in her family that may have been acting out in some way. And it's a lot of us right now, we would attribute that, you know, the millennial generation. And I hate to label people, because so many of the millennial generation that I know are wonderful young people with great values and great morals and great work ethic. But in general, and I'm one of the ones that would attribute this to this attitude of everybody gets a trophy, it creates a sense of entitlement. And it's one thing to give every first grader that comes out for a basketball team a medal. It's another thing when you're still doing it, you know, in the 10th grade. There has to be a point where you care as much about the values that you're giving someone as you do about their feelings at that particular moment. It takes me back to when I was talking about the election and the moral choices in the election. And I made the point that what makes me feel good isn't necessarily the right choice. It would make me feel good to buy everything I can for my kids and do everything I can for them and make their life as easy as possible. That would make me feel good. But what would I be doing for them? And what would I be doing for society when I send them out into the world on their own? And that's something I'm thankful for, that my parents instilled in me some values that have served me well, and a work ethic. I mentioned talking to this same lady who was having some struggles with, I believe it was a granddaughter of hers. And she reminded me of a time in her youth where she worked for her parents. Well, I worked for my parents for a long time. My dad's business, I worked in and out of for many, many years. And I had a conversation with my father one time where he wanted me to recognize that when I'm at work, he was my boss, and that I wasn't to expect special treatment. And in a way, he was right. At that moment, he was right. But of course, as a more headstrong young person, and probably not as level-headed as I am now, and some of you that know me well are probably laughing if using the word level-headed next to myself, but much more than I was in my youth. And my response to him was that when he recognized and treated me as an employee, I would recognize and treat him as just my boss. And he took that point from me, and that kind of ended the back and forth, because he recognized, although that I may have been experiencing a bit of an entitled moment, that he too would often take advantage of the fact that he expected more of me than he would have expected from the average employee. And the reason for that story is it's those expectations and those morals and that strong work ethic that I'm so grateful that my mother and father gave to me, and I've wanted to give to my kids. And I'll bring my son on now. We'll find out what he's thankful for. But he's a perfect example of that. And I don't want to embarrass him, but he's worked for me the last couple of summers. And in a lot of cases, without any direction from me, he has shown that he has just this really high level of integrity in his work, where he wants things to be done just right, just perfectly. And in some cases, I've had to pull him back a little and show him that although I appreciate his sense of integrity, there's certain ways of doing certain things where you may be wasting too much time where it's just not warranted. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm blessed to have someone with the kind of integrity. And I take very little credit for that. But I know that the examples that I got from my parents is at least in part is what I've given to him. And I appreciate that. So welcome back to Rogue Talk, Cameron.
Thank you for having me.
So you've started basketball practice this last week or so. And I know you love basketball. In fact, you got to pick your number this year. And what number did you pick, and why did you pick that?
I picked 35, just because Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. So as some of you know, I come from the Bay Area, so I'm a big Golden State Warriors fan. Have been for a long time. It's a little easier to be a Warriors fan nowadays than it had been in the last 15 years or so, but Cameron's kind of joined the team with us. He likes the Warriors, and a lot of that's because of Steph Curry, but with the addition of Kevin Durant, it kind of makes it even more fun, doesn't it, Cameron?
Yeah, definitely some interesting games when they all are on the same, clicking on the same cylinders then.
Yeah. Yeah, when everything is clicking with that team, I think they put up 149 points against the Lakers the other night, and a big team effort. You know, you and I were looking at the stats, and it was nice to see that. Yes, Curry had a 31, I think, point game, but it really was a team effort.
47 assists.
Yeah, 47 assists, which is huge, and so. We're talking about basketball, and I know that's something you love. Are there any things that you look at with this being this Thanksgiving season that you're thankful for?
I think I'm thankful for just like in basketball wise, having the opportunity to actually play basketball. Have parents that give me that opportunity, and then. You know, the school who has a program, and, you know, I think I'll just get a chance to play, you know, have some time where I can have fun, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look back, and of course, as some of you may know, and of course Cameron knows, that I did a lot of coaching when my daughter Mackenzie was playing, and unfortunately, I didn't get over to Coach Cameron as much. I think first grade was about the only time. But we do spend a lot of time working on stuff and talking about stuff, and we don't get to play one another as much as we'd probably like to, but we talk about it quite a bit. And this is something that gives Cameron a lot of joy, playing basketball. And it's, and I can relate to his this being thankful for the opportunity to play high school basketball. When I was in high school, I went to Santa Rosa High School in Santa Rosa, California, and it's a big, big school. And I didn't play basketball in high school. I played in church leagues and other venues, but I didn't play on the school team. And you know, part of it is. You know, this family, we're not blessed with a ton of size. I got to be 5'5", and in the early part of high school, I probably wasn't even up to that height yet. So that was a struggle for me, and I remember trying out. I didn't even get the courage to try out for basketball until ninth grade. And, of course, that's where we, at that time, it was junior high school. It was a different school. Your grades were part of the high school, but you were at a different school, or part of your high school experience was ninth grade, of course, but it was at a different school. And I tried out for the team, and I thought I had a good chance of making the team, and I didn't make it. And I had been wrestling for a few years, so I stuck with the wrestling. And then later in high school, I did run track for a year and did okay at that. I never got back to trying out for basketball. So when Cameron says he's thankful for being able to play school basketball, I appreciate that he understands that that is a privilege. And I'm grateful for that. And I know he knows it's a privilege because we hold him to a little higher standard than the school might even, as far as grades go and behavior. We expect a lot from our kids to let them play sports because the education is the more important thing. And Cameron has had some struggles, but he always gets the job done. In fact, report cards came out and I was on vacation with my wife. Of course, as a lot of you know, we had a replay show last week because I was on vacation, and it's only the second week off that I've taken at least in the 15 years that I've lived in Rogue River. The only other week was a Disneyland vacation that we took the family on that my father paid for, and all of my siblings all brought their families along, and it was a neat experience. But I hadn't taken a week since 2009, and I kind of used this week. I mean, yes, I had a good time, but I also got to reflect on a lot of stuff. And again, to go back I'm grateful to have a loving, devoted wife who puts me first all of the time. And I've got three great kids. They always make it look like I did such a great job. And I know that there's times that I really didn't, but they sure cover for me pretty well. And so, you know, I'm pretty happy about that. And so back to Cameron, you said you're thankful for basketball and being able to play, and I totally get that, and I respect that. Are there other things in your life that you think about that you're thankful that you have?
I'm thankful for having, parents that taught me valuable lessons and values.
I set him up for that. But
being able to, live in a home and have food and clothing and all that, which with other families who don't. So I'm thankful for that I get what I I'm thankful for getting to go to school, because in a lot of other countries you can't go to school.
Sure.
And I'm thankful for my friends. They do a lot for me, and we all come together, and we're just a good group together, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful just to be here,
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, and I'm thankful that you enjoy coming in and joining me on the show. And I'm thankful for this opportunity. I have a lot. Just kind of in the avenue of being able to be on the radio. I'm so thankful for Pastor Gigline for giving me the opportunity to do this show, and also to do the sports, Chieftain Sports. I've done that the last 2 years now, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I love to do that. And I take that a step back. I can go a step back and another step back and another one in this journey. I'm thankful for the Earhart family, and the reason I say that is the love of being behind a microphone, although it wasn't the intent of how it happened. Dave Earhart was responsible for that in a funny kind of way, because way back when I started running the scoreboard at the high school, he came up to me and handed me a microphone one night and said, "Hey, you're going to do the introductions for the game." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." And I did. And it was a bit of a humbling experience for me. I didn't really understand how the system worked. I didn't have really microphone techniques learned or figured out, but a couple of different people came up to me after the second game, and they said to me, you know, we really couldn't understand anything that you were saying tonight. And at that moment, something clicked, because most of us, and myself included, at another time in my life, that would have devastated me. I would have put that microphone down, and I would have told Dave, you know, you're really going to have to find someone else to do this. I'm not comfortable with this. But I didn't. I heard those words and I said, I can do better. I need to learn how to use this microphone properly. I need to learn how to use the equipment so I can set it up properly. And so that's one of the ties, you know, to the Earharts. Heidi Earhart was the one that let Pastor Gigline know that I might be someone interested in doing the play-by-play of the sports. And so I'm thankful for there. And there's other influences. Of course, Dave got me into coaching, you know, both at the middle school and with the recreational teams, and we call them the AAU teams, even though they're not really AAU, but they're competitive leagues. And I had a group of girls that I coached, you know, a handful of them for many, many years, and several girls that came in and out of the programs. I'm thankful for all of those things. I'm thankful for the relationships that those experiences have given me. Some of my favorite people in this world right now are young people that I've been able to interact with because of my newfound interest in being behind a microphone. And that includes the Miss Rogue River pageant. I'm thankful for everyone involved in that pageant that gave me the chance that, again, Dave Earhart had been hosting the pageant for several years. In fact, when one of my daughters was one of the little sisters, he was the host of that pageant, and that was many, many years ago. And he stepped aside because he had other things that he needed to do, and I was able to step in. So it's just been... I'm thankful for those things that one person might see as a coincidence all came together. And I'm going to make a little confession here while I've got the microphone. I have a business. I have a landscape maintenance business, and I'm proud of the work that I've done in that business for several years now. And I love my customers. In fact, I love the people that I work for more than I love the work that I do. And that's not to say I don't like what I do. I do. There's a huge satisfaction to making people's yards nice and bringing them back to the beauty that it sometimes only takes a week for that beauty to be diminished, and I can bring it back to where it should be. I love serving those people. But I came to a realization that I don't want to do that for the rest of my working life. I've never been interested in really building a business, so it's really just a job. I own my job, as Dave Ramsey might say, and it does allow me to let my son work for me, but I've never wanted to have employees and build a business. And this newfound passion for being behind a microphone continues to expand for me with this show, of course, with the sports broadcasting. I'm working on a couple of podcasts. I'm hoping by the first of the year that first one will go out. And, of course, I'll talk about that here. You know, if some of you aren't already sick of my voice, you can listen to one of those. The one I'm working on currently will be... it'd be about sports, about coaching in more specifically. And I hope to have that launch. I've been working on it for more than a year now, but I've had to put it on the back burner so many times. I haven't been able to give it the attention it needs. And I'm hoping by the end of the year to have that going. And so my confession is this is what I want to do. I so enjoy being behind a microphone. And so I'm just going to put it out there into the ether that this is what I'm working towards, what I want to do. As long as I'm available to do this as a volunteer, I will continue to do it as a volunteer. But I would love to be involved in some sort of work, whether it's in radio or in some other type of public speaking. I don't know what avenue it'll end up being, but that's where I'm headed. And I wanted to put that out there because I'm thankful for this experience and this opportunity. And I think it's important that I also let my feelings be known about those things. And I'm thankful that Cameron's taken an interest in this. He loves to come in with me down to the station, and you even got to do some guest color announcing during football season. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did.
So those are the things that we're thankful for. And again, I hope I didn't offend anybody with the talk about Thanksgiving and the religious tie, because that wasn't the intention. It was just something that I thought I found interesting that I wasn't even aware of until this week, and digging into it was fun. We're going to do our regular football picks. We'll do that after the next break. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this show today. I think Thanksgiving is a perfect opportunity to kind of take the normal show prep to the side and just talk about things that touch my heart. And Cameron talked about some things, and you can't see us here, but those things touch his heart too. And so we're so thankful for so many things, and we both know that, you know, we can always do a better job of recognizing those that aren't as fortunate as we are. And Cameron gets to do that in his leadership class at school. You know, they do some things where they definitely try and help others through leadership. And I know, Cameron, you really enjoy that. And being affiliated with this station has made me more aware of what God would call of me. And it's been an interesting journey these last several months, and I'm looking forward to the future. And I've said this before, but I want to say it again. I really do want your input. I don't know how many of you are out there listening. My brother in California is a very loyal listener, and I'm so thankful for him and the rest of my family. Of course, I'm thankful for, but he's been so helpful in this journey for me. But I would like some of the others. I know you're out there listening. Contact me in one way or another. You can go to the Facebook page, Rogue Talk on Facebook. You can go to the email, feedback@943thebridge.com, and put Rogue Talk in the subject line. And in future shows, call in. I'll give out that number and call in and contribute to this show. I know that you listeners are out there. We have, at least on the online side, we know it, with each show how many people listen live. And we know that the downloads are getting downloaded so that parents can listen to their kids when they're on, or spouses can listen to their spouse being interviewed. But I'd really like to hear from you. I'm thankful to have you as listeners, but I really would love to find out what you want from this show, what you're enjoying, and what you don't like. And we'll kind of make those changes as we can. But I'm so thankful for all of you for listening. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with Cameron's football picks. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. A federal judge has cleared the way for jury selection to start Monday in the hate crimes trial of Dylan Roof, charged in the shooting deaths of 9 black parishioners at a South Carolina church last year. The judge today found that he's competent to stand trial. Roof faces the death penalty. As he spends the holiday weekend with his family at his Florida estate, Donald Trump connecting with foreign leaders and considering new cabinet prospects. He announced that Fox News analyst Katie McFarland will be his deputy national security advisor. Campaign attorney Donald McGahn was named to White House counsel. Stocks again finished at record highs after a shortened trading session today. Investors continuing to count on a pickup in economic growth and rising corporate profits. The Dow up 69 points. The S&P picked up nearly 9 points, while the NASDAQ composite added 18 points. You're listening to SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue Announcer, and my guest co-host today, Cameron. Welcome back, Cameron.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you bet. So we got into all the things we were thankful for and a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. And another thing we're both thankful for is college football. Isn't that right, Cameron?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've really come to enjoy college football, and we watch a lot of games together on Saturdays when we can, and it's just something fun. And so we've been having Cameron pick games all season, and we had to take a week off last week because I left Cameron here with his big sister and took off to Utah and Arizona and Nevada and had a great vacation. But I'm excited to get back into picking some games. And of course, the last time we were picking games, we had Bethany Kelly was my guest that day. And let's just be honest, she kicked your butt.
Yeah.
We picked 3 games that last time, and Bethany was 3-0. Cameron was 1-2, and we had a good laugh on Facebook about that. She said something to the effect of he ought to know better than to mess with a girl or something along those lines. So we're going to see if he can redeem himself here today. We're only able to pick 3 games because we ran out of time. So we'll see how many we get to today. So going into this week, Cameron is now 22-20-2. So just a tick above 500. And so let's get right to that first game, Cameron. Number 15, Florida, is 8-2. They're traveling to number 14, Florida State, who's 8-3. And Florida State is favored by 7.5 in that one. Who do you like, the Seminoles or the Gators?
I'm going to go Seminoles.
Seminoles. Going to pick, even with that 7.5-point spread, you think they're going to take down Florida?
Yeah, I didn't like how Florida played against, I think, LSU.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think the Gators are that good, so I think Florida State will win that game.
All right, so there's a bold call there. So let's move to our next game. Number 22, and today's going to be a little heavy on the Pac-12, and that was just partially because there were some interesting matchups that I wanted to hit. So number 22, Utah, 8-3, at number 9, Colorado, 9-2. Colorado's a 10-point favorite in this one. Who do you like, Colorado or Utah?
I like Colorado. I think Utah's a little shaky, and they lost to the Ducks last week. And I think when they play good, you know, for a couple of weeks, and then they have one rough week, but I think they'll lose again to the Buffalo.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me in that one is that 10-point spread. But that's a hard one to pick. I gotta say, both teams have been up and down this year. They've looked really good at times, and then, you know, they lose to a team like the Ducks, and no offense to your Ducks, but, you know, they're just not very good this year. So yeah, that's a tough one. So who'd you have in that one?
Colorado.
You're going with the Buffalo, so they're going to cover that 10-point spread, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at home they're probably a little better team, so we'll see how that one goes. So let's move to our next one. Number 3, Michigan, 10-1. At number 2, Ohio State, also 10-1. Ohio State, a 6.5-point favorite in that game. Who do you got in that one, Cameron?
I like the Wolverines in that one.
gonna go with the bit of an upset pick, Michigan. And I, of course, my picks are meaningless, but I'm going to go with you on that. I think Michigan's going to pull the upset in that one. We're running out of time. I'd like to get these last two games in, so let's get to them quick. Notre Dame at number 12, USC. This is a big rivalry game. I remember finding that out several years ago. I had a friend that, whose daughter was going to USC. So who do you like in that one?
USC.
USC's favored by 17. You think they'll cover?
Yep.
Okay, we got about 20 seconds left. Finally, got to pick this one. Oregon at Oregon State. Oregon is a three-point favorite. Who do you got?
Oregon.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. Cameron's a big Ducks fan. So I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.